up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're here with Oklahoma artist Holly Beth. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You've been keeping busy?
Oh, yeah. We're getting busy. Yep.
Yeah, nice, nice. So I guess for people who don't know who you are, I guess we should just start with the basics here. I guess, when did you start to want to pursue music, and like, what made you want to do it?
Man, I would say like literally like as young as like 8 or 9, I knew that I wanted to do music in some capacity or like be a part of music in some capacity. I started taking piano lessons when I was in like 3rd grade, I think, somewhere in there. And I was classically trained on the piano my whole life, and I loved that. Like, that was like my one like music outlet. And then as time went on, I tried to learn the guitar. It didn't exactly work at first. And then I had always kind of sang, and I had a vocal coach growing up. And then it just, as I got older, it kind of became more and more prevalent in my life. And I just was doing it more often. And then after I went to college, that's when I was like, man, I want to pursue this like heavily. And I just kind of went for it.
Right on, right on. So are you in Oklahoma now?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Where are some places around there that you guys like to hit for like shows and everything?
So our like favorite place to go, like currently, in my opinion, I really like Beer City Music Hall. It's a newer venue in Oklahoma City. It's a smaller capacity. It's like a mid capacity room, like 500 people or so. And, it's really cool. The production level in there is like insane. It's great. But there's a lot of other great venues in Oklahoma. One that just recently actually shut down, which I loved. It's like one of the first places I got started was Bubba's Brewhouse in Durant. Paul and Jennifer Steen owned that, and they're like family to me. They always have been. I love Cane's in Tulsa. I love the Diamond Ballroom in Oklahoma City too. There's Grady's out in Yukon. There's a lot of great ones around here, but I really like Beer City.
Nice. So being from, is it Oklahoma City? Is that where you're from?
So yeah, I kind of say I'm based out of Oklahoma City because I've grown up in a lot of different places kind of. and I just have moved around the state a ton, but I currently live in between Oklahoma City and Tulsa, like directly in the middle in a little small town that has like 2,000 people.
Okay, nice. So do you get to see a lot of, you get to participate in a lot of the Red Dirt kind of music and that scene out there?
Yeah. You know, it's like it's everywhere around here. And there's, you know, there's the Mercury Lounge in Tulsa too, that they have music. I mean, like, it seems like every night of the week, if it's not, it seems like it. There's so many great venues around here, and there's a want for music too. There's a want for original music out here, and definitely the Red Dirt scene is kind of the most, it's the most popular out here. So yeah, it's huge out here.
Awesome. I went back and listened to pretty much everything you put out before this, so I could do some research and all that. You know, you gotta listen to it. Yeah, yeah. And just reading about you, something that came up a lot is that during like when you write, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is just what I've seen, is that it's about like a lot of adversity you faced in your 20s, in your early 20s, I believe it said. Which, I mean, I'm 25, so like I definitely a lot, you know, I see a lot of the people my age, some stuff I've been through, all that kind of stuff. And hopefully this question makes sense. When you write music, do you, obviously it's therapeutic, I assume. So do you ever think like, does it come up in your head? Like, is this something that I'm just dealing with? Or is it something you right away know that like, I could convey this to other people that have been through the same thing? Or is it just more of like, I need to do this for myself? Or like, how does that process work in your mind?
I think, man, I've definitely done both for sure. But I feel like as I've gotten older and the more I've wrote, the more honest just about like what I'm dealing with. I am like the more honest I am with that, instead of trying to put myself necessarily in somebody else's shoes or like try to like relate to a situation that somebody else is. I feel like the more honest stuff from me is the stuff that I connect with more, and that ends up being better songs in the long run. But I definitely have done both. But I, you know, kind of the stuff that I went through in my 20s, I needed an outlet. I didn't really have another outlet at the time to deal with any of the things that I was dealing with. And music was like my one like comfort place I could go to. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it definitely became very therapeutic. And in the middle of writing all these songs that I wrote for this record, it like was so therapeutic for me. And it's about the only way that I got through everything that I was dealing with at the time.
Is it when you write and you want to like pour out what you're feeling or like tell your stories that you want to tell, is that intimidating at all? Is that something that just comes natural? How is that? Like, how does that go through you?
So in the writing process, it's not intimidating at all. I guess because for me, it's like, I know the only people that are going to hear it are me. If I don't want to show it to anybody, and then if I do want to show it to people, I start with Taylor, my producer, or any of like my close like friends that I trust with writing advice. But if I don't want to show it to them, I, you know, I keep it to myself and I'm like, yeah, that one wasn't good. But I will say the things that I haven't thought were good, I've like later shown to Taylor in the studio and I'll be like, yeah, this one wasn't very good. And he was like, this is one of the best ones you've ever wrote. What are you talking about? So I can't like necessarily trust myself. So I've gotten to the point that I do send him about everything, but I don't know. I think for me, I don't think about it when I'm writing it, but then when it gets to the point of releasing it now, I definitely get very much so in my head. I'm like very nervous for all this stuff to come out now.
Right. So how is it like working with Taylor? He's obviously when you look at, like Oklahoma, Texas, basically pretty much anything that's hot out there right now, Co Wetzel, Reed Southall, all them guys, like he's had a hand in that. Mitchell Fergus. I know you guys are under the same label now, right? Sour Sonics.
Yeah.
So, how's it like working with him? Is it like a shared kind of creative thing? Like, do you kind of like let him run with it, or do you like have your own input on what you want it to be like production wise?
It's a mix of all of it. Honestly, Taylor and I feel like work really well together. He's also super receptive of ideas that I have and directions of songs that in the way that I want it to go. But then there's sometimes I will fully admit this, that there's sometimes when I don't really have either a direction in my head of like, I'm not really sure, or I'm not really feeling what he's doing at the time. Or Adam Urbanczyk, he also works with him in his studio, and Adam played everything that Taylor or I didn't really play on the record. Adam played it, which was a lot. And so if I'm not really feeling something Adam and him are doing in the moment, I usually just kind of let them run with it for the time being, and let them finish like kind of the like idea that they had in their head. And 9 times out of 10, I love it. And I just needed to give it some time to come to fruition. But I am really bad about like immediately being like, no, I don't like that. And so I have to give it some time sometimes. But I mean, he's obviously great at what he does. And Adam is one of the most genius musicians I've ever met in my life. And so he's great at what he does. And so I learned in the process to trust them on what they were doing.
Yeah, right on. So I got, I was able to listen to your new EP, right?
It's an album, full album.
Album, that's right. It is an album. Yeah. I was able to listen to that. Thanks, by the way, for that.
Yeah,
and it's great. First of all, like Trevi, I've always heard about you, but like the first one song that I like listened to was Trevi, and then Flowers blew me away. That was
Thank you.
Crazy good, and I noticed in. I don't know if this is the right word to call it, but would you call it a rebrand, kind of?
Yeah, a little bit. That's kind of what we were going for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you hit on that? Like what you're trying to go for here?
Yeah. So we got probably, so all in all, this record took us like 3 years to make. And we got probably 2 years into it, and it was becoming more and more pop sounding. And I was really nervous for that. And just because, you know, so many negative connotations come along with the word pop, and they're like, you know, the bubblegum pop is what people automatically think in their head of, like, the lines that repeat themselves over and over again. There's no thought behind the words and everything. Mm-hmm. But the more I kind of just dug into it, the more my, like, true authentic sound came out, and the more I was like finally truly happy with the music that I was making. And I just kind of said, screw it, I'm gonna just go with it. And so with the rebrand, we visually wanted to bring it to life as well. And I started working with Honcho Music Group, which is Dalton Domino's mm-hmm. Management company. But she's been my tour manager and my photographer on the road with me for years at this point, but she's also turned to my best friend. She also works for Dalton. Her name's Carly Brassel. And Carly is a genius too. And so Dalton and Carly kind of worked together, and Dalton had a connection. He met her on a plane, actually, weirdly, years ago, but she is a videographer and she lives in California. And we brought her into the mix, and she did all the live videos that we've put out. And we even have more content that's coming out. We spent a week in California with her and shot every day we were out there. It was exhausting, but like one of the best weeks, genuinely. And anyways, so with that, we wanted to do something completely different. I hadn't really showcased a lot of me playing the piano. And through the writing of this record, the piano was like such a big, I really didn't have a lot of good songs before. I was playing everything on the piano, or playing everything on the guitar and writing on the guitar. My mom and my stepdad met Taylor Kimball at a show that he was at of mine for the first time. And my mom pulled him aside and was like, get her to play the piano. She's good at it. That's like her home. Tell her to stop playing the guitar, but she won't listen to us, but she'll listen to you. And he was like, okay. And that like next week I came back into the studio and he was like, hey, why don't you try writing stuff on the piano? And everything just flowed out. And so that was a big part of it, was it was a transition into, I want to show that side of me. And yep. The videos were a huge part of that. And so anyways, it all just kind of worked together, but it was weird in the time because it was a huge growing period, but now I'm like very confident and like I'm very happy with where it's at.
Yeah, and just as someone who's relatively new listening to you, like it sounds like when compared to your older stuff, which is also good, it just sounds like you're more, I don't know, it just sounds like more fitting for you, I guess.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was when I first listened to you, like I said, it was Trevi, and especially with Flowers, like, and I hate to make comparisons, but like a big like Lady Gaga kind of thing went to my mind, like the, not like the poker face Lady Gaga, but like the Star Is Born Lady Gaga kind of stuff. And
well, thank you.
Very piano driven. So like I guess, and you kind of explained it there, but do you see much of like does the labels and the genres, does that matter to you at all? Like, oh, you're a country artist, so you're a pop artist. Like, what do you think about that?
So it does and it doesn't. I obviously, we have to have genres, you know, just because of the charts and everything. And for Spotify and all that, you know. But I got really genre focused in the middle of this writing, and it was dumb for me personally because it was putting me in a box and I wasn't able to write and I was in a weird spot. And I feel like I'm kind of back in that spot right now because I've put myself back in the business mindset instead of creative mindset of like, well, here we are, we're about to market this stuff. And I haven't really been able to write as much. And I kind of have to bounce back and forth in between the two. But I hate genres. Personally, I wish they weren't a thing just because it puts people in such a box. But I feel like musicians are, and artists alike, are at the forefront of pushing for, we're making music that we want to make regardless of the genre. And I like, we're the ones that are going to be able to drive it. And I think larger artists are doing it right now, which is super important that they start that kind of movement of, hey, we're going to fight back and we're going to just make the music we want to make regardless of the genre.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think you're in the right area for that, like geographically, because, and, you know, and where you are in your career. But, cause like you, like I mentioned earlier, like Co Wetzel, like that's rock, right? That's rock music. And then you got Co Wetzel and Flatland Cavalry that are often put in like the same bubble, but they don't sound the same. They're completely different. But that's the beauty of being where you're from. Is because you can't, it's like normal now to venture out and do stuff like that, much less what you're doing, because like it's usually now it's like it's even getting more diluted, kind of like with the rock stuff. Because like that seemed like new and like fresh, which in the Texas scene is usually people just associated with country. So with there being a rock scene, that's awesome. But even now, people are all like, all right, let's all do rock. And then it gets a little like, all right. Like now it's starting to sound the same, but like your like piano driven stuff is really cool. Is the piano, like, is that what you like are thinking of sticking with at least for a while until you want to do something else? Or what are your plans, I guess, for like your upcoming music?
Yeah. So the rest of the album is, I think when people, we went back and forth on this, especially with releasing those two songs first, because they both are more ballady and piano driven, and we were like, well, is this gonna sing the wrong message of what this record is like? Because the rest of the record isn't completely like that. Obviously you've heard it, but for the people that haven't heard it yet, some of it's more upbeat, and but there are definitely more of those kinds of songs on it. And the newer stuff that we have worked on since then, the studio has been in commission, or not in commission, for some time now. Taylor moved and it's still not completely done. So I haven't been in a long time, but right before he moved, we started working on a couple songs, and one of them we finished. And honestly, it's got a real, and this is going to be so crazy because it's like completely different than this record, but it's got more of like a punk down to it. And it just kind of happened. We went to lunch one day and I was drinking tequila at lunch, and we went back and I wrote the song. But anyways, it was fun. That was one of those that I didn't think about anything that was happening in my life. It was actually Carly and a little boy situation that she had with that. And I was like, hey, I need your help writing this. Tell me some words to describe him. So anyways, but I don't know. I'm just kind of doing it. The piano stuff will always kind of be there because I love the piano, but I don't know. It won't always probably be as piano driven as Trevi and Flowers.
Right. And like that's good, because like what I always think is that like I think what separates like an artist with like ambition and an artist who's just like gets comfortable is the progression. You know what I mean? Like, is that, you agree with that? I think.
Yeah, 100%. And I think just as humans, we all change and evolve. And I think there's such a negative look sometimes put on musicians, even like, you know, like A-list celebrities of like, oh, they're changing now that they're in the light. It's like, aren't we all supposed to do that as humans, is change and grow and evolve? Why wouldn't they in their music too?
Yeah, right. Is that something, and you kind of hit on it a bit, but is that progression, is that stressful to deal with when you think of like what are the fans going to think? What are like my peers going to think? Is that something that like sits on you for a bit, or are you just like, I'm doing what I want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I won't lie and say that it's not, because I'm self-conscious at times, you know, like I think anybody is and would be. I don't know. You know, I think I accepted too, when putting this record out, that it wasn't like my old stuff. And if people already had a mindset of what they thought I was as an artist or what I should be, this is not going to necessarily fit that box. And so I definitely took a lot of time and a lot of soul searching to make sure that I was okay with that. It might not work, and that's okay. And if it reaches not the audience of success in my head that I make for myself, that's okay, you know, because there's still people out there that it'll connect with regardless of the size of that. But you know, I just am kind of just doing it at this point. I will say that I have a really good support circle that has helped me be okay with that too.
Right on. That's interesting, because it's like you have, like you said, you have like your own audience that you have, like you just said. And is that like basically the mindset of like the fans that I want around are the ones who like will get it, I guess. Like you don't want to, like you'll know who actually, I don't know how to explain. I sound like a jackass, but,
<You're fine. laughs> but like, I kind of think I know where you're going. Like basically the ones who are here and listen, like they're here for the ride, you know, just like wherever it takes. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people that have supported me and that have like came on the train, I guess that you could say, during Trevi and Flowers too. Like I am so grateful for anybody that has listened, and any future people that have, but I had to get out of the mindset of being so stuck on, well, I want to blow up or I want to be a huge artist or whatever, you know. I think it took a lot of growing up for me to realize that too, of like, I want to be happy is mm-hmm. a big thing. And obviously I want to make money too, but I understand, like I said, you know, earlier, I think I had to do a lot of soul searching to realize that sometimes it doesn't happen for everybody. And, you know, it is what it is, but I luckily still can make music. So I'm happy with that.
That's awesome. When it comes to the scene or musicians that you find yourself surrounded with, being like out there, like a, kind of like a regional scene, you know, is there more of a like a camaraderie aspect, or is there more of a competition aspect, or is there like a good mixture of both with different, like with you and other acts?
I think most of the people that I've became friends with, like it's all been super friendly. Sure, there's I think there's a level of it maybe behind closed doors that's a little bit more competition. But I think it's, you know, healthy of like, or it should be, in my opinion, of just being like, you know, I want to do better in like what I'm doing, or, you know, I can do better in what I'm doing, or seeing somebody that is better at playing the guitar than you are and being like, I need to step up my game a little bit. But I've had a lot of people that I've met over the years that have just been so great and friendly to me that, I mean, I've became really good friends with them over the years. And so I would say more friendly competition than like bad, but there definitely are some bad apples in the whole grand scheme of it, but you'll have that.
Yeah, you'll find that anywhere. So when you write, do you have like very, here comes a cliche question, but I like to ask it anyway. When you write, do you, no, you're fine. You good?
It like cut out for a second. I think I'm back now.
Okay, we got you. So when you do write, is there a certain process that you do? Like a unique thing? Like, do you pull out your guitar, get at your piano? Like what do you usually do to, when you have an idea and want to crank one out?
Man, I
I know, super broad question.
No,
but
you're fine. I honestly am trying to think of what like I normally do. Typically, it starts with either like an idea of lyrics or a melody kind of that I hear in my head. But a lot of the times it's like an idea of like a hook or just like some sort of lyrical idea. I really focus heavily on the lyrics to stuff more than I will the music. I will, if I start with the music, I get really caught up in that. But I'm not as good with the music side of it. Just on a piano I can, but it's not as portable as a guitar. So, you know, if I'm gone and not at home, then it's harder for me to like be able to play the piano. But if I'm at home and have my piano, if I start on that, you know, usually I can put some music to it. But a guitar, I'm just not, that's been like so frustrating for me because I'm not like, I can play it. And I can, like, play it on stage, but I, like, can't play the things that I hear in my head. And mm-hmm. So I have to, like, wait until I'm in the studio with Taylor and Adam. And that's usually when I can, like, do my best writing because I can focus on lyrics and melody and they do the music and it, like, meshing it together has been really cool.
Nice. Yeah. Do you do co-writes? Do you write with anyone?
So this is kind of unpopular because everybody kind of pushes the co-writes, but I just don't, I don't know. There's very few people that I co-write in my life. And it's only because like writing for me is such a personal and like intimate thing. Like I have to go and like, you know, you kind of asked me that earlier about like, where do I go mentally? I do pull from things that have happened to me a lot of the times. And so I don't really want to go there with people. And mm-hmm. that's just a privacy thing, I think, that I have, like, a complex. But me and Mitchell Ferguson have co-wrote some, and one of the songs on the record is called I Wish You Would Hate Me, and me and Mitchell wrote that together one day in the studio. But I mainly write with Taylor, and Adam is there, but Adam never contributes lyrically usually. He's always just music, but... He's funny because he'll like tell you he doesn't listen to lyrics and songs. He only listens to the music of it. And oops, sorry, my dog.
You're good.
And he will always say that. And then I just don't know how he does that though. Like I can't not listen to lyrics in a song. So anyways, but I don't know. I really haven't co-wrote with a ton of people now.
Yeah, that's funny. You say focuses on music because I'm just a listener, but like that's exactly how I am a lot of the time is like, and let's just strip down like with the like we'll use Flowers for an example, that's piano and you, and it's like, okay, that's easy to listen to the lyrics, but if we're listening to like, I don't know, like Led Zeppelin or something, you know, any band with like, you know, a whole put together arrangement, like I barely ever listen to the lyrics. That's a real thing. Like it's, I feel like it's the complete opposite of like what you listen to. Like it's hard to channel them both. That's why you got to listen to stuff more than once.
Yeah, for sure. I actually want to know a fun fact about Flowers. Yeah. The ooze in like the choruses of like the second chorus and the last chorus, that's actually Taylor singing those oohs. And I
really,
yeah, I walked into the studio one day and he was like playing it and I was like, man, those oohs sound good. I didn't know he did them. And I said, those oohs sound good. And I like made a comment about like something about me doing it. And I was like, I don't remember doing those though. And he was like, because you didn't do them, I did them. And I was like, what? Anyways, it was funny. But he yeah, I don't know. I just, I've always listened to lyrics. And I think part of it though is because years ago I got told by somebody that hasn't been involved with like some more successful bands out of Oklahoma. But I've literally kept this in the back of my mind for years and I used it as motivation. But he told me that my songs were cheesy. And I don't think he'll ever watch this, but even if he does, he helped me in the long run because they were at the time, this was years ago. And I have literally every song I've ever wrote since then, I like think to myself, is this cheesy? Well, it's just always stuck with me.
Well, okay. So say someone says, it's cheesy. And like, that's not only like everyone, I've heard that for like, you know, people say that all the time about songs. Like, how do you, I guess, how do you, what do you differentiate as cheesy and not cheesy then?
That's a good question, because I don't really know, but I've just ever since then been like, be cool, don't be cheesy. No, I just, I think I was more or less back then, I was riding in a box of, oh, well, I have to play country music and I have to wear, okay, and I don't stop. Oh my gosh, sorry.
You're fine.
Hey, can you take her? Sorry. But I had this like mindset of I don't mean this in any mean way towards anybody at all. It just was never me. Never in my life was it me. And but I just, there was this like box of like, you gotta wear bell bottoms and wear turquoise and wear a cowboy hat and like, you gotta fit this box of be a country artist and play the guitar, like the acoustic guitar. And that was just never me. And I really did try to fit that mold for a really long time. Like one of the first full band shows ever, there's like old pictures of me that my friends have. And I was in this like black shirt that had like long, like kind of like bell bottom sleeves. Yeah. And then like jeans and boots. And I had like a fake turquoise necklace that like wasn't even cute. And somewhere like a couple months later, I was like, I don't have to wear that. I can wear Converse and it'll be fine. But anyways, that was off topic a little bit. But my point to that was I tried not to like fit the mold. Sorry, I lost my train of thought on that one, but.
No, it's fine. I mean, that's good. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier you wrote with Mitchell Ferguson. Is he not the most interesting person you've ever met?
Mitchell something. Yeah. He is interesting. I love him. He's funny. But he's like such a genius. Like
he is.
In songwriting. Like literally, that was one of the easiest but also hardest writes. And it was easiest because like we had the lyrical content there. But what we wrote, we couldn't get it in like a right key for – we're specifically writing for – my stuff, and we couldn't get it in like a right key. And honestly, the chorus that we wrote, Taylor didn't like how we were like singing it, and he was like, I'm just not feeling it. And I was like, no, I'm dead set on this one, I want it this way. And then in the long run, it's like one of our favorite songs off the record. So I don't know, anyways, but Mitchell's great. He I don't know if you've listened to it, but my song Should Have Known Better, Mitchell wrote all of that.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and he's great. Like everything I was feeling in that moment, I was like, "You put it into words."
Yeah, like we have quick story, but when at the end of the year we do like a Raise Rowdy, we each pick like five artists, like top five artists of the year, whatever. And and for whatever my opinion's worth, I chose Mitchell, because that dude, like you said, I think he's like actually a genius. And like that EP he put out, like I've never heard anything like, every song I felt like I could, like this could be on the radio. And yeah, it's just like that's just like, it's really cool, like that, like you, him are all under like, you know, like Taylor's wing, whatever, like his label. And it's like, do you think being in that group, and I don't fully understand it, like from like a label standpoint, it's hard for me to understand that stuff. Is that like, is there constant like creative juices flowing between all you guys?
Not all the time, no. Especially since the studio has like, Taylor hasn't been like working,
right?
Well, he's been working, but like working in like a producing point, he's been putting together the studio since, I want to say September. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. It was like the end of September is when he was like done with his like having people come in. But before that, every once in a while, and I think his goal when he gets in this new studio is for me and Mitchell to get together like once a month to be able to write together, just because it was such like a good organic type, mm-hmm, write. But and it's like one that I'm comfortable with, and he's trying to kind of push that a little bit more of co-writing. But Taylor and I definitely bounce ideas back and forth. And then there's two other guys that work with him, alongside him in the record label. One's name is Taylor Brack, and then Preston Lee is the other one. And they both kind of have different roles in the record label, or all three of them do. But I talk to them all the time. I have a meeting with them tomorrow night, you know, and like we all have been contributing to the entire record, and the marketing and release strategy and all that. And definitely with like writing when I'm in it with them, for sure. Taylor and I always like go back and forth.
Yeah. Nice. Also, have you ever been to Nashville or like to play or write or anything?
Not to write. I have not. I've been to play once. We played, this was not this past December, but the December before. I went on like a little week long run with Cody West, and he played Basement East in Nashville. And we actually ended up doing that show. I had done it acoustic all week, and we went all over the Midwest, and me and one of my old guitar players, and then we did the last show in Nashville full band, because at the time I was with a booking agency out of Nashville, and I had never met my booking agent in person, and Cody and I were on the same one, and so he was like gonna come to the show, and anyways, so I got to meet him all that night. Unfortunately, I left that booking agency the next month, but it was cool. we're all on good terms, so it was fine. But yeah,
that's good. The only reason I ask is because that's where Rage Rowdy's based out of. I'm not there. I'm in Cincinnati, but I was just wondering because like I hear all the time. Like, of course, they're biased towards Nashville. They're there all the time. They're doing business out there, and like I know a lot of artists out there, and I know a lot of artists where you are, and I was just wondering, is that something, because a lot of people, they're all like, I want to go to Nashville, I want to start playing music, that's the next step to this whole thing. Is that something that you think of, or are you like, I could do it all from here, I have my own plan? Like, how are you mapping that out? Do you ever think about going to Nashville?
No, honestly, I will visit and I will go as much as I need to when those opportunities arise. But Oklahoma is my home. I'm a super, super, super big family person. And, my family all, like my mom and my stepdad and my brother are all in this town that I live in. And my grandparents are 30 minutes north. And, you know, I'm in the middle of, remodeling a house here. And so it's just, oh, I'm never probably, I won't say never, because I can't give like just all, I don't know. I'm not going to say never, but for the most part, I feel like I'm always going to be in Oklahoma. I don't know. It's central to everything. I can pour out of here really easy too. You know, it's 13 hours to the coast of Texas. and then it's 13 hours to Chicago, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. It's close-ish to everything. So.
Yeah. I'm on your side with that, by the way, because I lived, over a stint of maybe, I don't know, 3 years. I lived in Stillwater for a while in Tulsa.
Oh, and, okay.
And like, I fell in love with it. I loved Oklahoma. Like, it was awesome, but that's the thing. It's not close to anything else.
No.
Like, you can't just go to Nashville. So.
Yeah, no, it's not. That's cool though. I'm only like 45 minutes from Stillwater and then like 45 minutes from Tulsa. So that's cool. I didn't know that. Did you go to OSU?
No, I worked there though.
Oh, okay.
I worked at, gotcha. Yeah. It's a whole weird situation. I ended up in Oklahoma for whatever reason. And I had no idea anything about the music scene out there. I just moved out there. I was saying this for a girlfriend at the time. And, you know,
we all
have
those.
You know how it goes. She's great. She was great. You know, we're still friends, but, I moved to Stillwater and, I had no idea anything about the music scene, nothing. And, the Tumbleweed was having a show. It was, I think it was Reed Southall and Austin Mead was opening. And, Yeah, I went there and immediately I was like, okay, this is some of the best shit I've heard in forever. And have you ever played in Stillwater? I assume you have, right?
Yeah. We played the Tumbleweed a ton, and then we played Calf Fry, not this past year, but the year before.
Okay, so was that the first year after COVID? Because I know they didn't have it for COVID, I don't think. I can't remember.
It was 2024? It would have been 2022, so...
Okay.
It may have been the second year after COVID. We played, let's see, our night. Actually, this is going to be crazy when I tell you this. The lineup that night from the first of the night to the end of the night was Wyatt Flores, me, Colby Cooper, and Zach Bryan.
Wow, that's and a now, hell of a lineup.
Yeah, and now Wyatt is huge, and obviously Zach is huge. And that was Thursday night at the festival, and that Zach broke the record for the attendance of a Thursday night at Calf Fry that year. And I have never in my life heard a crowd sing songs as loud as they did that night. It was insane. I like still have a video of it on my phone, and I haven't went back and watched it in forever, but like for days after I was like, holy cow. Anyways, but
yeah. So I assume you're on the main, I went to Calf Fry, so I kind of know the layout, but I went like it was like Turnpike before they went on hiatus. That's how it's been a while. But were you on the main stage then, I assume?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
It was cool. It was fun. It was cool too, because I've grown up in Oklahoma my whole life, and Calf Fry has always been a festival. I went to OSU for a semester, but that was like always. I went to Calf Fry in high school, you know? So it was like, I don't know. That was just definitely a bucket list festival that I was so thankful to be on. It was really cool.
Awesome. So do you know, like, I know some guys in Stillwater, like Trenton Fletcher, Gannon Freeman. Do you know any of them guys?
Oh, yeah. I know them all.
Yeah, I figured. They're goons, especially Gannon.
I know Trenton a lot. I've known Gannon for years, but we're not like super close or anything. But like I've known him for years. Literally, like when I probably first started playing, back when my songs were really cheesy. But Trenton, I met him later on. But Trenton and I are really good friends, and It's cool. We played together not too long ago. I'm trying to remember where we were. I did an acoustic song swap. Oh, it was just a fluke deal. Noah Bowman was supposed to play with him. He was opening acoustic at a Southfall show in Ardmore. And Noah couldn't make it, unfortunately. And I was around when the news was found out. And I was like, well, I don't have a show tomorrow. I can play acoustic if you need me to, if you need another person. But it was cool. So
awesome. Yeah, Trenton, I've known him for a while too. I've met him once in person. It was like for 2 seconds, but like me and him text like all the time about his stuff, and he seems like at least like business-wise and like what he wants to do, like he's like 12 steps ahead, I feel like. Like he knows what he wants. His music's amazing, I think. And it's just a matter of time for him too, I think.
Yeah, I went in one to go back on what you were saying too. Yes, Trenton is so hungry. Like the drive is like so there, which you don't see with a lot of people. And so I respect that a lot. But I was in the studio one day. He records with Dwight Hamlin, the mm-hmm. lead singer of the White Lighters. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but I just happened to be in the room. Somebody else was supposed to be singing harmonies on this song of Trenton, and I got in there, and he got upset, and he was like, I don't know, I can't hit this. And he told me on the way there, he was like, if I can't sing this, will you sing with Trenton? And I was like, I mean, I will, but I'm not gonna like impede on his day. Like, it's, he asked you specifically. I was like, I will. Anyways, long story short, I ended up singing on this song. I think it's his newest single, American Honey.
American Honey, nice.
The harmonies on it are me. And it was such a fluke deal. And I like texted him because Trent was like so nice. Like, he paid me for it. And I was like, dude, I literally didn't, like, I didn't plan. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like I overstepped. And he was like, no, I love it. So anyways.
But, yeah, I have to go back and listen then. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's funny.
We're homies. There's so many songs, and this is not like a I'm not trying to like brag about this, but there's so many songs that I've like low key sang harmonies on that a lot of people like don't know. But like I've made a lot of friends over the years, and I love harmonies, so I kind of just, I don't know, it's just kind of landed, I guess. But I've been very thankful to have a lot of friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the name of the game, you know what I mean? Like, people could act like it's a solo thing the whole time, but, like, it really is who you know, especially in a place where you are.
Yeah, it really is. I try to tell people that all the time, and it sounds kind of jaded sometimes. I feel like people might take it as that, and it's like, no, it's really not. It's just being honest with what it is. It's any other business in the world, except it's cooler.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But what about shows? You got any shows coming up?
Yes. I don't really know exactly when this is coming out, but I'm going to assume it'll probably be out after I announce this. But we're just about to announce one, the album, and then we're that same day going to announce the album release show. It's at Beer City Music Hall on April 20th. I'm super excited for it. We've got like so much cool stuff planned. We're doing a house concert tour as well. We only have a few shows of those, but those are, I don't know. When I wrote this, obviously, you know, we talked about the rebrand, me and you did, but also like, me and like all of my team, we talked about the rebrand, and we were like, we really want to do something a little bit different. And I'd always liked the ideas of house concerts. Well, then I was like really driven on, I wanted the lyrics of this record to really like be the forefront, because there's like really a very, I don't know, there's a story being told through it. And so I was like, I want people to listen to the lyrics of this record. And I was like, I just don't feel like when I go to a show, my live show is something that I tell everybody. It was like such an important part of who I am as an artist. And if anybody's ever near me, I like really try to push them, like, please come see me live, because I don't feel like maybe everything gets portrayed through my music. And I'm like, if you come see a live show, I promise I can convince you then. I just need an hour of your time. And yeah. I don't mean that in a cocky way at all. I just mean it in like I'm very confident in my band and like our abilities and like what we can do. And so anyways, but I was like, I want people to listen to the lyrics, and I feel like a room filled with, as an opener, I don't always, you know, I might gain 1 to 10 fans a night, if not more. If there's more, that's awesome. But if I'm sitting in a room in front of 30 people, just me and my guitar, me and my piano, no mics, no nothing, and it's a quiet room, I know that I can take home, in a room of 30 people, 30 new fans, or mm-hmm. I hope, you know. And I was like, let's do this house concert. So anyways, we set it up and we put it out there, and we had some hits on it, and we're about to do some of those shows here pretty soon, and we're super excited for those. And we've got a little like other side things planned within that. And I don't know. I'm super cool, or I'm super excited for these cool shows that we're doing. And then the Beer City show, I'm very excited for.
Yeah. And no, you had a point there too. Like, I feel like for a lot of people, the live show is like a make or break on if that's about. It's not like I'm saying like it's putting pressure, but it's not. It's like, that's really how it is. Like sometimes like if you could like an artist, but if you see him live, I feel like that's when you're like, okay, I'm a fan. Like I'll follow them now. Like, if that makes any sense, at least that's kind of how I feel. But
100%. And I don't know. I feel that strongly, because it is. And so many people, I guess, expectations or preconceived notions of what they believe your live show is going to be from listening to your music beforehand. And it's, one, not fair. Two, I just don't agree with it. I don't like to judge artists until I watch their live show. And I say judge not in a mean way, but I am. Any show I go to, I am judging them, because I'm like, what can I learn from you? Or what can I... You know, I don't know, like, there's just so much to learn from other people too, like what to do and what not to do sometimes, you know, so.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Holly, thanks for hopping on here. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, awesome. If you have any plugs, like socials, you mentioned the show or your album, like go ahead. If you want to promote it, go ahead.
Yeah, the album comes out March 22nd. I'm super excited. It's called 25. And the album release show is April 20th. The tickets go on sale Friday, March 1st. So if it comes out afterwards, the ticket's already on sale. If it comes out before then, well, I guess we'll see you on Friday.
Awesome. Well, and everyone also, obviously, go follow Holly on everything and stream her music, buy her music, whatever people do nowadays. And give us a follow at Rowdy Alternative on any of the socials. Visit our website at Raise Rowdy. And you guys have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.